Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Dear viewers, in the previous topic, I had introduced you to the collection and transmission history of the Quran vis-a-vis the aim of the whole research, the historical perspective, the questions that arose in my mind, and the research methodology that I applied in trying to solve these questions. Now, from today, inshallah, we begin with the various narratives on the collection and transmission of the Quran. And this, in the second topic, we shall cover a narrative, a very famous narrative, recorded by Imam Bukhari in his Al-Jami' al-Sahih, according to which it is stipulated that there are only four people who collected the Quran in the times of the Prophet, and all of them belong to the Ansar. It is generally construed that this collection, the word jama' is used, refers to memorization. Whilst there are some people who think that it also refers to a written collection, but then question does arise that if it means it refers to memorization, then should we believe that there were only four memorizers of the Quran in the lifetime of the Prophet? So this is the question that we are going to address whilst discussing these narratives. I will cite before you the two representative texts of this narrative. One of them implicitly says that the four people collected the Quran in the times of the Prophet, and the other one explicitly says, and this distinction is actually made by Hafiz ibn Hajar in his Fathul Bari by saying that one is implicit and the other is explicit. Now, as far as the first of them is concerned, which implicitly says so, it is reported by Anas. And Anas ibn Malik, رضي الله عنه, he reports this narrative, and the words are, actually, Qatada asked this question from Anas, and the words are, حَدَّثْنَا قَتَادَ قَالْ سَأَلْتُ أَنَسْ أَبْنَ مَالِكَ رضي الله عنه مَنْ جَمَعَ الْقُرْآنَ عَلَىٰ أَحْدِ النَّبِيِّ قَالَ أَرْبَعَ كُلُّهُمْ مِنَ الْأَنْصَارِ. And then he names them, Ubayy ibn Qa'ab, wa Ma'az ibn Jabal, wa Zayd ibn Sabit, wa Abu Zayd. Qatada said, I asked Anas ibn Malik, who collected the Quran in the lifetime of the Prophet? He replied, four people, all of whom belonged to the Ansar, the tribe of Ansar. And they were Ubayy ibn Ka'ab, Ma'az ibn Jabal, Zayd ibn Sabit, and Abu Zayd. Now the other variant of this narrative, which I said, according to Ibn Hajar, is more restrictive in its style and is explicitly says that there were only four people who had collected or gathered the Quran in the lifetime of the Prophet. Though the text of that narrative reads, and again this is also from Anas, and Anas says, قال مات النبي ولم يجمع القرآن غير أربعة أبو الدرداء ومعاذ بن جبل وزيد بن ثابت وأبو زيد قال ونحن ورثناه. So Thabit and Sumama, they report from Anas this narrative. So Thabit and Sumama report from Anas, the Prophet died whilst none except four people had collected the Quran. Abu Darda, Mu'az ibn Jabal, Zayd ibn Sabit, and Abu Zayd. And then the narrative ends by slightly different words, which read, وَنَحْنُ وَرِسْنَاهُ, which means that we are his heirs. So this is the narrative generally on the basis of which this question arises, that what does this actually refer to? And the central or the pivotal point of discussion obviously will remain as to what does the word Jama'a means. Now, three prominent scholars, Abdul Latif Rahmani, Tamanna Imadi, and Abul Qasim Al-Khuy, they say that this word, the word Jama'a refers to a written collection of the Quran. And although none of them have presented, I would say that Hui and Tamanna Imadi, although they insist that this means a written collection, but they have not furnished any reasons for this deduction. However, Abdul Latif Rahmani has made a concerted effort, and he's, according to him, this word explicitly means writing down of the Quran. And he says that when these narratives say that four people had collected the Quran, then they actually mean that four people had written down the whole of the Quran in the times of the Prophet. Now, the reasoning that he furnishes or he provides is based on various points. The first of these points is that he says that the word Jama is its literal meaning is to bring together, which is more akin to writing down. And although the word Jama can also be used for memorization, but he, according to him, this is a figurative use of the word Jama. And hence, there's no reason to abandon the figurative or the literal meaning in favor of the figurative meaning. until there is reason to do so. And in this particular case, he says that this would be incorrect because there were several memorizers of the Quran, as we know. Hence, it has to mean people who had written down the Quran. And since this literal meaning of the Quran is more closer, is the one that we should take unless someone else, some other indication pushes you to adopt a figurative meaning. So he said it's much natural to adopt the literal meaning of a word. He also says that the that Abu Bakr and Usman ta'ala anhum, they were called Jamiul Quran, and obviously they were the people who had written the Quran. Abu Bakr had written the Quran, and then Usman had copied the Quran. So he says that the word Jami again here means people who had had the Quran written down. So this again is an implicit reference to the fact that Jama means a written collection. And he also cites, I would like to present this before you, a passage from Imam Bukhari's Al-Jami'ul Sahih. And he says that as per this passage, it means that the word Jama'a actually refers to a written collection. And while citing this literal meaning of Jama'a, he actually cites this passage from Imam Bukhari's Al-Jami'ul Sahih. And the words of this passage are, إِنَّ عَلَيْنَا جَمَعَهُ وَقُرْآنَ تَلِيفَ بَعْزِهِ إِلَى بَعْزِ فَإِذَا قَرَأْنَاهُ فَاتَّبِعْ قُرْآنَ فَإِذَا جَمَعْنَاهُ وَأَلَّفْنَاهُ فَاتَّبِعْ قُرْآنَ أي مَا جُمِعَ فِيهِ فَاعْمَلْ بِمَا أَمَرَكَ وَانْتَهِي عَمَّا نَهَاكَ اللَّهُ وَيُقَالُ لَيْسَ لِشَعْرِهِ قُرْآنَ أي لَيْسَ لِشَعْرِهِ قُرْآنَ أي تَأْلِيف. So while citing Imam Bukhari's Al-Jami' al-Sahih, he actually quotes this passage, and it means actually the word jama' in the Quranic verse, inna alayna jama'ahu wa qur'ana. So therefore, this is actually an explanation of the Quranic verse of Surah Qiyamah, in which the word jama' has been used. So Imam Bukhari, according to him, while explaining this word, jama', has said that the word jama' in the Quranic verse, inna alayna jama'ahu wa qur'ana, means arranging one portion of it with another. The Quranic verse, faiza qara'nahu fattabi qur'ana, means when we have collected and arranged it, then follow its recital. That is, what has been collected in it. So do what has been ordained in it, and refrain from what God has stopped you from. And it is said, there is no Qur'an in his poetry, meaning there is no arrangement. So he thinks that the word Jama, as has been delineated in this passage, explicitly refers to the written collection of the Qur'an, or it refers to the written compilation. And he says that this is how Imam Bukhari is also has supported his view. And now this is the first point of his reasoning, that the fact that the word jama is more likely to be used for a written collection because this is his literal meaning. It's the word's literal meaning according to his view. The second point that he makes is that Anas's narrative actually says that there are four collectors. When the words are such, then it should refer to the actual situation, because he has not said that in my opinion, or in his opinion, the collectors are so-and-so. Since these words are not present, so when Anas says that there are four collectors, then it is a given that he is referring to the actual situation which exists. And the actual situation which exists is that there were a number of memorizers. So he could not have said that there were only four memorizers, because in actual fact, we have several memorizers. So therefore he says, as a result, we are forced to conclude that the word Jama actually refers to a written collection. Now, the third point that he makes in this regard, while deducing the fact that actually it refers to a written collection, he says that the later part, or the last part of the second narrative, says "Nahnu warisnahu," which means that we are the heirs of the Quran of Abu Zayd. Now, he says that this last part clearly tells us that there were four written copies of the Quran, and Anas ibn Malik's paternal uncle was Abu Zayd, and therefore when the last words say "Nahnu warisnahu," it means that Anas is saying that we are the inheritors of the Codex of Abu Zayd. And he also acknowledges the fact that although the expression "Nahnu warisnahu" can also mean we are the inheritors of his wealth, because obviously the word warisa has not been qualified by anything. He is deducing the fact. So he says that although we could deduce that wealth is also implied here, or could be implied here, but he says that this is not the correct interpretation. Because if we take Nahnu Varisnahu to mean that we are also the heirs of his wealth, then this would actually cut off the second part of the narrative with the first part, because the first part is actually discussing the Quran issue. So why should we take it to be, why should we relate the word warisa towards wealth? We have to relate it to the codices. So this is the third point that he makes in this regard. And the fourth and final critique that he does in this regard, which makes him conclude that it is actually written collection, which is implied by the word jama'ah, is that he says that in actual fact, there were several collectors of the Quran in Medina, like Ubay ibn Ka'b and Salim and Abdullah ibn Masud and Abdullah ibn Umar al-As, ibn Umar al-As. So he says that in the presence of all these memorizers, it is hard to believe that Anas would have actually referred to just four memorizers, and he would have not known that these are memorizers. And the fact of the matter is that all these memorizers were very famous. So these are the points of critique which Abdul Latif Rahmani has made. And in fact, they could also be called it his basis or his foundational reason on the basis of which he thinks that the word Jama'ah here refers to four collectors of the Quran who had written down the Quran. Now, viewers, as far as these views are concerned, as I said, this is one category of people. Now, the other category, as I said, are people who think that the word Jama'ah refers to memorization. And they are so certain that this is the case that they don't even cite any opinion or any argument in favor of their own conclusion, because they think this is something very obvious. So of all the other people who relate Jama'ah to mean memorization, they don't even cite anything to support their own view, because to them this is something very obvious. So in this background, let us now analyze the whole scenario and try to find out what actually is the connotation of the word Jama'ah. In this regard, what we need to understand is that all the major lexicons and dictionaries of Arabic language actually refer to the fact that the word Jama'ah means to bring together. Thus, for example, we have Ibn Duraid's Jamharatul Lugha, we have Ibn Sida's Al-Muhkam Wal-Muhitul Azam, we have Az-Zubaydi's Tajul Urus, we have Ibn Manzur's Lisan al-Arab, and we have Sayyid al-Khuri's Shartuni's Aqrab al-Mawarid. So all these famous lexicons of the Arabic language are absolutely certain. They don't even need to be cited that the word Jama'ah means to bring together. Now, viewers, what needs to be understood is that the word Jama'ah, when it refers to bringing together, and it refers to the Quran when bringing together is concerned, then since it is historically known that the Quran was revealed in steps, it was revealed in various episodes, so therefore the word Jama'ah can equally connote in the written collection as well as collection in the memory, because we know that it was also written down, we also know it was memorized. So therefore we can easily see that the word Jama'ah can refer to both types of collection. Collection in the mind, meaning memorization, and collection or written collection. So both can be construed as far as the Arabic lexicons are concerned. And moreover, we find no conclusive proof as far as the narratives are concerned, which I cited in the beginning, to find out that they explicitly refer either to memorization or to written collection. We don't have any explicit argument, I would say, in this regard. As far as Imani's arguments are concerned, I will just review them in a while, but apparently in the narratives, the way I look at them, there is no such indication. And the fact that the word Jama'ah is used for a written collection and for memorization is evident, is so copiously evident in the Arabic language and its usage, that I will just cite before you some examples so that you can see that how the word Jama'ah, when used in a particular context, will refer to memorization, and when used with another context, will refer to a written collection. So thus, for example, in the I'm now going to cite some examples before you in which the word Jama'ah actually means writing down the Quran in one place. Now, this narrative is cited by Ibn Sa'd in his At-Tabaqat al-Kubra, and he says, "An Muhammad ibn Sirin qal mata Abu Bakr wa lam yajma' al-Quran," which means that Ibn Sirin reports that Abu Bakr died and the Quran had not been collected in one place. So here, automatically, the indication is very clear that lam yajma' al-Quran would mean that the Quran had not been collected in a single volume. Similarly, in the following narrative of the collection of the Quran in the times of the Caliph Abu Bakr رضي الله عنه, which we will also subsequently discuss in one of our later talks, the words are, and these words are actually directed at Zayd ibn Thabit, And the words are, he is addressed by Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And the words are, إِنَّكَ رَجُلٌ شَابٌ عَاقِلٌ لَا نَتَّهِمُكَ وَكَدْ كُنْتَ تَكْتُبُ الْوَحْيَ لِرَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فَتَتَّبَّعِ الْقُرْآنِ فَاجْمَعْهُ. You are a wise young man, and we do not suspect you of any bad trait in your character. And you used to write the divine revelation for God's messenger. Therefore, look for the Quran and collect it. So look for the Quran and collect it would obviously tell us that actually the indication is very clear. That again, here a written collection is being implied. So it is something very, very clear. Now, these are the two examples which I gave you vis-a-vis the word Jama'ah, how it can be used to connote the fact that it means writing the Quran in one place. Now, let me give you some more examples in which actually the word Jama'ah is clearly used to connote memorization. Now, this narrative that I'm going to read out before you is from Al-Jami' Al-Sunan of Imam Tirmidhi. And the words are, An Uqba an Muslim haddathahu anna Shufayyin al-Asbahi haddathahu annahu dakhala al-Madina fa'iza huwa bi rajulin qad ijtama'a alayhi an-nas faqala man hadha faqalu Abu Hurayra qal حدثني رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الله تبارك وتعالى إذا كان يوم القيامة ينزل إلى العباد ليقضي بينهم وكل أمة جاسية فأول من يدعو به رجل جمع القرآن ورجل يقتتل في سبيل الله ورجل كثير المال. And this is a long narrative, and I'm just going to translate the relevant parts which concern us. So the Messenger of God narrated to me that on a day of judgment, the Almighty will move towards people in order to pass judgment, and every nation would be present there. The first people to be called would be a person, who had memorized the Quran, and a person who was martyred in the way of the Quran, and a person who had a lot of money. So I have translated this word, Rajulun Jama' al-Quran, to mean a person who is a memorizer of the Quran, which is clearly the indication in this narrative. So here you can clearly see that the word Jama' al-Quran is used in the meaning of memorization. And another example I cite before you is, and this is actually quoted by Abu Nu'aym in his Musnad al-Mustakhraj ala Sahih Muslim. And the words are, An Abu al-Aswad an Abihi qal, Jama'a Abu Musa al-Qurra, faqal, La tadkhulu alayya illa man Jama' al-Quran. So Abu al-Aswad says that Abu Musa al-Ashari gathered all the reciters and said, لا تدخل علي إلا من جمع القرآن, that no one should enter or come to me except the one who has memorized the Quran. And we know that he had gathered a gathering of people who were memorizers of the Quran. And this is the whole context of this narrative. So therefore, we can clearly see that we have instances in the word Jama, in which the word Jama is used for a written collection, and instances in which the word Jama is used for an oral collection or memorization. Now, the question is that how should we give a preference to any of these meanings? Now, in my personal opinion, I think that they are very strong indications if we study the other variants of this narrative, that actually the word Jama is used to mean memorization. It does not refer to a written collection at all. And we have very conclusive evidence from some of the other narratives which clearly state, in my opinion, that it was actually memorization that is being implied here. Let me cite before you a narrative of Imam Nisa'i, which is cited in his Sunan al-Kubra. And here you'll find that the word Jama has been replaced by another word, Qara'a. And in Arabic, in those times, a qari or a person who read the Quran in this way would automatically mean that he has actually memorized the Quran. So the words are, An Anas qala qara al Qur'ana ala ahdi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ubay wa Mu'az wa Zayd wa Abu Zayd. So you can clearly see that the same variant now has been replaced in a different form, in which the word Jama'ah has been replaced by qara. Now, by all stretch of our imagination, by all intents and purposes, the word qara cannot refer in any way to a written collection. So the word qara has to refer to something else. And we know, as I'll cite some proof before you as well, that the word qara, when used such, refers to memorization. So here, if we, for the sake of argument, if we still translate the word, that there are four people who read the Quran. Now, the word qara al-Quran, as I shall establish later on, that it automatically refers, when it says qara al-Quran, or read the Quran, it means memorize the Quran. In those times, this is something very common. Now, another example of this is that it is also cited in the Tabaqat of Ibn Sa'd, and the words here are, سمعت قتادة يقول قرأ القرآن على أهد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أبي بن كعب ومعاذ بن جبل وزيد بن ثابت وأبو زيد. So Qurra ibn Khalid said, I heard Qatada say, in the time of the Prophet, Ubay ibn Ka'b, Mu'az ibn Jabal, Zayd ibn Sabit, and Abu Zayd read the Quran. Again, I'm using the same translation because I have still to establish the fact that the word Qara has the meaning of memorization. But all I have established so far is that it cannot be used in the meaning of writing down. Obviously, Qara can never be used in the meaning of writing down. For the sake of argument, I'm still translating it to mean what is common usage is to read. So qara means to read. Now, I think the word qara, as I said, is also used to connote memorization. And there are several examples of this in hadith literature. So if I am able to establish those, then I can say that I can replace the translation here of reading the Quran by memorizing the Quran. Because as I said, the word qara also means to memorize the Quran. Now, let me quote you some examples which clearly speak out or clearly say that the word qara is refers to memorization. Now, I'm going to cite you an example from the Sunan of Abu Dawud, and the words of this are, this has been reported by Sa'd ibn Ubada. He says that qala rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ma min imri'in yaqra'u al-quran summa yansahu illa laqiya Allah azza wa jalla yawm al-qiyamah ajzama. Now, this is an absolute clear example of how the word qara is used in the meaning of memorization. Sa'd ibn Ubada said that the Prophet said, any person who yaqra al-Quran summa yansa, and then he forgot. So the word yansa automatically tells us that the word yaqra here means memorization, because a person can only forget something what he has in his mind. So the opposite word yansa here has led us to believe that the word yaqra, when used here, means memorization. So a correct translation would be that any person who memorized the Quran and then forgot it will meet the Almighty on the Day of Judgment such that he will be maimed. Whether this narrative, we know that there are some discussions on the text of this narrative and the chain of narration of this narrative vis-a-vis its authenticity, but that is a separate matter. Even if it is not ascribed in a sound manner to the Prophet, the fact is that still the language of this narrative obviously is a representative language of the language of those times. So therefore, when it says yaqra al-Quran summa yansa, it automatically refers to memorization. Now, another proof of the fact is that in some variants of this narrative, which are recorded by Salawi, the words used are ahkamul Quran. Similarly, in another variant by Ibn Sa'd, the word used is akhaz al-Quran. And both these words, viewers, you can clearly see, any person who has a very rudimentary knowledge of Arabic also, that ahkam al-Quran cannot refer to a written collection. Obviously, it refers to memorization. Now, we know also that in the times of the Prophet that memorization held a lot of esteem, because people were actually motivated to memorize the Quran, and there were several memorizers as a result. So we had a strong appeal found amongst the Sahaba in which they were induced and inspired to memorize the Quran. And we find no such appeal regarding the written collection. And there are a number of narratives which tell us that how a memorizer of the Quran will be rewarded in the hereafter. Now, we know that, for example, the Prophet has been very gracious when he has underscored how a memorizer of the Quran will be rewarded in the hereafter. I'm just going to quote before you a single narrative. There are several of this category which tell us that there was such a strong appeal to memorize the Quran, and it was as a result of this appeal that people were started to memorize the Quran. Thus, we have this particular narrative in which it is said, it is reported by Abdullah ibn Amr. He says that qala rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam li sahibil yuqal li sahibil quran iqra wartaqi warattil kama kunta turattil fid dunya fa inna manzalaka inda akhir aya taqrauha. Abdullah ibn Amr reports from the Prophet, on the Day of Judgment it shall be said to the memorizer of the Quran, read the Quran and climb a step and read it in measured tones the way you used to read it in this world. Your destiny in this paradise will be the step you reach when you read the last verse. So you can clearly see that this was the appeal or the nature of this whole motivation was such that as a result of this appeal, several memorizers arose and we find that there were people who had this inspiration to memorize the Quran. Now, we now come to the fact that if this is a fact, it has been established that the word qara has been used instead of jama in some of the variants of this narrative, and can also safely say that the word qara is actually referring to memorization and not a written collection, then what then is the answer to the critic or the conclusion which has made Abdul Latif Rahmani to conclude that actually the word jama refers to a written collection? Now let me also one by one take up his deductions, and I will present my own observations on them and try to prove that actually he has come to an erroneous conclusion in this regard. Now, if you remember, the first thing that he said was that the word jama literally means to bring together, which is more closer to the word of to the meaning of writing down. And in my own submission before you, I have just presented that the word jama equally means writing down and equally means memorization. It is erroneous to say that its literal meaning is to write down, and its figurative meaning is to memorize. No, it has these equal meaning. The equal meaning of the same meaning of the word jama is to bring together. So in my own way, I would say that this is the denotation of the word. So the denotation of the word is that we say that the word jama actually means to bring together. This is the literal meaning. The literal meaning is just this, to bring together. Now, whether that bringing together is on a sheet of paper or in memory, that is the connotation of the word, not the literal meaning. It is not the denotation of the word. The connotation of the word is that bringing together can be on a surface of paper and it can be in our own memory. So therefore, this connotation of the word is the one in what we are discussing. And this can vary in usage. As far as the context is concerned, as far as the usage is concerned, this will vary. So as far as the denotation is concerned, the literal meaning is concerned, it is just to bring together. It's not more than that. Bring together in memory or in writing is something which is an additional component and which is actually the connotation of the word. And as I said, this word has been used in both these connotations in Hadith literature. I have cited examples before you, and I have given preference to the second examples in which it is said that it refers to memorization, because we have seen that the word qara has been used in place of jama, and the word qara, it is very common to use the word qara in the meaning of memorization. So this is my first response to his first criticism. And I would also like to present that he has also erroneously cited the passage of Imam Bukhari because it seems that he has not properly understood what Imam Bukhari has actually said. And let me recite that whole passage before you. He had said, "Inna alayna jama'ahu wa Qur'ana," while referring to the Quranic verse of Surah Qiyamah. Okay, "Talifa ba'azihi ila ba'az, fa'iza qara'anahu fattabi Qur'ana, fa'iza jama'anahu wa'allafnahu fattabi Qur'ana, ay ma jumi'a fihi, fa'amal bima amaraka, wantahi amma nahakallah, wa yuqal, laysa li shi'rihi Qur'an, ay ta'lif." Now, while explaining the verse, "Inna alayna jama'ahu wa Qur'ana," Bukhari says that it means arranging parts of it together. The words are ta'lifa ba'azihi ila ba'az. Now, up till here, a person could have been, there could have been a possibility that Imam Bukhari is actually explaining the meaning of the word jama'ah. Till here. And he says, "Inna alayna jama'ahu wa Qur'ana," citing the Quranic verse, and then he writes these words, ta'lifa ba'azihi ila ba'az. So, up till here, there could be a possibility that he's either explaining jama'ah or he's explaining Qur'an. But according to Abdul Latif Rahmani, he is actually explaining jama'ah. Now, if we go on, we can clearly see that this is not the case. Imam Bukhari is not explaining the word jama'ah. He is actually explaining the word Qur'anah. See, what he's saying is, he is actually citing the next part of the verse. He's saying, "Fa'iza qara'anahu fattabi Qur'anah. فَإِذَا جَمَعْنَاهُ وَأَلَّفْنَاهُ فَاتَّبِي قُرْآنَ." He is actually giving us the meaning of that verse. And he's the way he writes that, "Ay ma jumaya fihi fa'mal bima amaraka wantahi amma nahaka." So we can clearly see that he's actually referring to the meaning of Qur'anahu, and he's explaining it thus. So when we have collected and arranged it, follow its recital, that follow what we have arranged, and do what it says, and refrain from whatever God stops you. And the last part of the excerpt is even more clear. So the words are, يُقَالُ لَيْسَ لِشِعْرِهِ قُرْآنٌ. Again, you see the word Qur'anun is used. أي تَأْلِيف. So the last part says the word Qur'an means ta'lif. Finally, if the words prior to the excerpt cited are considered, no doubt remains that, at all that Al-Bukhari is actually explaining the word Qur'anahu and not Jama'ahu. Now these words are, وَقَالَ أَبُ النَّبَّاسِ سُورَةٌ أَنزَلْنَاهَا بَيَّنَّاهَا وَقَالْ غَيْرُهُ سُمِّيَ الْقُرْآنِ لِجَمَاعَةِ سُوَرٍ وَسُمِّيَتِ السُّورَةِ لِأَنَّهَا مَقْطُوعَةٌ الْأُخْرَى فَلَمَّا قُرِنَا بَعْضُهَا إِلَى بَعْضٍ سُمِّيَ قُرْآنًا. Ibn Abbas said that the word Suratun Anzalnaha mean that we explained this surah, and some other person said that the Quran is named so because the surahs are gathered in it. A surah is named so because it is separated from the other, and when they are arranged adjacent to one another, they are called Quran. So it is absolutely evident from this excerpt that Bukhari is actually referring to the name, to the meaning of Qara and not Jama'a. So in effect, he has actually misunderstood the passage of Imam Bukhari. Imam Bukhari is not referring to the meaning of Jama'a. He is actually referring to the meaning of Qur'ana. And he's telling us that it also means to bring parts of it together. So therefore, by this contention, I would say that he's misunderstood Bukhari, and he cannot claim that Bukhari is actually supporting what he has said. And as far as this contention is concerned, that Abu Bakr and Umar ta'ala anhum were also called Jami al-Qur'an. So we can of course call them Jami al-Qur'an, because as I said, the word Jami is not explicit to mean that they were people who had written down the Qur'an or responsible for writing down the Qur'an. It also means people who were memorizers of the Qur'an. And we also know that Abu Bakr and Umar were actually people who had written down the Qur'an. So it is not that they have been called people who have written down the Qur'an because the word Jama'ah means writing down the Qur'an. As I said, one of the connotations of Jama'ah is to write down. So therefore, when Abu Bakr and Umar are called Jami al-Qur'an, it is obviously because they were responsible of writing down the Qur'an. So this, again, his contention is weak, I would say. Now, if you also recall, he had also said since Anas ibn Malik has not said that, in my opinion, the collectors of the Qur'an are four, he has just said there are four collectors of the Qur'an. Now, he says that now this has got to do with the actual situation, because the actual situation was such that there were several memorizers, and therefore Anas could never have said collection of the Qur'an in the meaning of memorization, because there were several memorizers. So therefore it is essential that we conclude that he was actually referring to writers of the Qur'an or to a written collection. Now again, here his contention is weak. This is weak because he has wrongly posited that when a person says that there are four collectors of the Qur'an, or he says that he gives us any information, then he is always conveying the actual situation. This is not always the case. For example, when I speak, there are four people who are coming. What I'm saying is, in my opinion, there are four people who are coming. So, in my opinion, this phrase I often do not express in words. And when I say there are four people coming or four people there, it automatically means that in my opinion, that there are four people. So this contention that Anas ibn Malik, if there had been four memorizers, then he should have actually told them that in my opinion there are four memorizers, also does not hold ground. Now, as far as his next contention is concerned, in which he had said that the last part of the narrative said, Nahnu warisnahu, would mean that we are the heirs of the Quran of Abu Zayd. This is also debatable, because we know that there are other narratives in which people ask that who this Abu Zayd is. Because Abu Zayd was relatively unknown, so people asked Anas that who is this person, Abu Zayd? And he said, Anas is reported to have said that he is one of his paternal uncles, and since he was issueless, therefore Anas says that I was one of his heirs. So this also becomes very clear that Nahnu Warisnahu does not mean that we are the heirs to his Qur'an, as is contended by Rahmani. Actually, it means we are the heirs of Abu Zayd, meaning that we are the heirs of his wealth. because I have said that there are narratives which clearly say that actually people did not know who Abu Zayd was, and when Anas was asked, he was clarifying this fact that he was his paternal uncle, he was issueless, and we are amongst his heirs. Again, referring to the fact that we are the heirs of his wealth. So as I said, this too is debatable as far as Rahmani's contention is concerned. And the fourth point, if you remember, that he had raised was that there were several other memorizers of the Quran. So therefore, how could have Anas missed out those memorizers and just cited these four people? Again, I will point out in my later critique as we follow, that this contention can easily be resolved if we take the view of Ibn Abdul Barr, as I shall cite before you in my next talk, that this contention that there were four memorizers can be solved when we see how Ibn Abdul Barr and some of his other contemporaries and previous scholars have interpreted this narrative. So viewers, all in all, till now, I have just commented on one point of this narrative, and in my next talk, inshallah, I'll continue with some of the other critique which arises in the text of the narrative and later on its chain of narration. But let me just summarize that in this particular session, we have concluded quite conclusively, in my humble opinion, that the word jama'ah refers to memorization. For reasons cited, we cannot take it to mean a written collection. Now then, what exactly is the meaning of the word that four people had memorized the Quran, and how can we reconcile it with the fact that there were several other memorizers, and why is it that Anas is just pointing out four of them? This, inshallah, we'll take up in our later talks. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات.